Okay, the Book of Lamentations, the author is most likely Jeremiah. And in our English Bibles, it follows directly from his prophetic book. And if you read through Lamentations, after you read through the book of Jeremiah, you'd probably say, yes, I believe Jeremiah wrote this book. Okay, it was written immediately after the destruction of Jerusalem and the temple. And the one, it's been destroyed more than one time. But this is the one that came about in 587 B.C. The old Temple of Solomon. Some people say it was 586 B.C. It was somewhere 587, 586 B.C. The account is found in several places in the Old Testament. We're going to look at it very generally, and then we're going to hone in on a couple of specifics on this. If you look at 2 Chronicles 36, verses 17 through 21, that is a concise passage on what brought about the exile. At this time, the people are in exile. Because you remember, the temple was destroyed, Jerusalem was ransacked in 587, and this is probably written shortly after that, when God's people are in exile in Babylon. And we have an account of that in 2 Chronicles 36, verses 17 through 21. And I think, Val, I was going to have you read that for us.
Therefore, he brought up against them the king of the Chaldeans, who slew their young men with the sword in the house of their sanctuary, and had no compassion on young man, virgin, old man, or infirm. He gave them all into his hand, all the articles of the house of God, great and small, the treasures of the house of the Lord, and the treasures of the king and of his officers, he brought them all to Babylon. Then they burned the house of God and broke down the wall of Jerusalem, broke all its fortified buildings with fire, and destroyed all its valuable articles. Those who had escaped from the sword he carried away to Babylon, and they were servants to him and to his sons until the rule of the kingdom of Persia. To fulfill the word of the Lord by the mouth of Jeremiah, until the land had enjoyed its Sabbaths. All the days of its desolation, it kept Sabbath until 70 years were complete.
All right, there's the account of the Babylonians, Chaldeans, coming to Jerusalem, destroying the temple, destroying the city, and taking most of its citizens back to Babylon. So the Lamentations comes out of Babylon concerning Judah. All right, that's a very condensed version of what happened. All right, now in your notes, the reason for the exile is Judah's unfaithfulness. As we will clearly see in this book, the unfaithful people are suffering the promised curses that are laid out in Deuteronomy 28. Now, if you're familiar with Deuteronomy 28, the first 14 verses, God tells them all the good things that's going to come upon them if they keep covenant. And I believe it's verses 15 through 68. It tells them of all the curses that's going to come upon them if they're unfaithful, if they don't keep covenant. So if you want to turn to Deuteronomy 28, we're going to read a few verses out of that. I mean, these people should not by any means be taken by surprise that the Babylonians came and took them back to Babylon. All right, let's have verses 1 and 2 read, Deuteronomy 28.
And if you faithfully obey the voice of the Lord your God, being careful to do all his commandments that I command you today, the Lord your God will set you high above all the nations of the earth. And all these blessings shall come upon you and overtake you, if you obey the voice of the Lord your God.
All right, so wonderful promises if they keep covenant with God. All right, now, let's skip on down to verses 15 and 16.
But if you will not obey the voice of the Lord your God, but be careful to do all his commandments and his statutes that I command you today, then all these curses shall come upon you and overtake you. Cursed shall you be in the city and cursed shall you be in the field.
Okay. And then he tells them of all of these curses in the rest of Deuteronomy that's going to come upon them. So they've known this from day one. Not be any surprise. So, the you turn now to Jeremiah 23. So we see that the cause of their exile is their unfaithfulness to God's covenant. God was just keeping his word. And it's not that they hadn't been reminded by Isaiah and Jeremiah, this prophet and that prophet. But they just wouldn't listen. All right, if we go to Jeremiah 23, we get a little, let's go to Daniel 9 first. Daniel 9. I'm sorry I skipped over that, but I do want to go there. This makes it a little bit more precise while they are suffering in Babylon. Daniel is one of the people in Babylon. He ended up actually calling a lot of the shots there. He was God's faithful servant in Babylon, and he makes this prayer of confession, and it gives you nice details of why God's people are there. Verse 3. Then I turned my face to the Lord God, seeking him by prayer and pleas for mercy with fasting and sackcloth and ashes. I prayed to the Lord my God and made confession. All right, listen to this. This is how they were behaving when God finally said enough. It says, O Lord, the great and awful God. That's how that should be translated. God is full of all. He doesn't have some all. He's full of all. Great and awful God who keeps covenant and steadfast love with those who love him and keeps his commandments. We have sinned and done wrong and acted wickedly and rebelled, turning aside from your commandments and rules. We have not listened to your servants, the prophets, who spoke in your name to our kings, our princes, and our fathers, and to all the people of the land. To you, O God, belongs righteousness, but to us open shame, as it is this day to the men of Judah, to the inhabitants of Jerusalem, and to all Israel, those who are near and those who are far away, and all the lands to which you have driven them, because of the treachery that you have committed against you, because of the treachery that they have committed against you. To us, O God, belongs open shame. To our kings, to our princes, our fathers, because we have sinned against you. To the Lord our God belong mercy and forgiveness, for we have rebelled against him and have not obeyed the voice of the Lord our God by walking in his laws which he set before us by his servants, the prophets. All Israel has transgressed your law and turned aside, refusing to obey your voice, and the curses and the curse and oath that are written in the law of Moses, which we just read, the servant of God, have been poured out upon us because we have sinned against him. He has confirmed his words, which he spoke against us, and against our rulers who ruled us, by bringing upon us a great calamity. For under the whole heaven there has not been done anything like what has been done against Jerusalem, as it is written in the law of Moses, all this calamity has come upon us. Yet we have not entreated the favor of the Lord our God, turning from our iniquities and gaining insight by your truth. Therefore the Lord has kept ready the calamity and brought it upon us. For the Lord our God is righteous in all his works that he has done, and we have not obeyed his voice. And then finally, and now, O Lord our God, who brought your people out of the land of Egypt with a mighty hand and have made a name for yourself as it is this day, we have sinned, we have done wickedly. Daniel understands the covenant. Daniel understands God as being a righteous God. Daniel has seen the people of God and how wicked they have been, and Daniel realizes that God keeps his word. And that's exactly why they're in Babylon. Now we're going to get a little more specific. Let's turn to Jeremiah 23. I'm going through all this because we're going to relate this to our situation. I'm going to read a few verses on this too. First couple of verses are going to be read from the pulpit later on this morning as our old covenant reading. Jeremiah 23, woe to the shepherds who destroy and scatter the sheep of my pasture, declares the Lord. And then he goes on, and it's going to be read, I said, later on this morning. And so that's all I'm going to read from that part right there. But let's turn that, let's go down to verse 9. Jeremiah says, concerning the prophets, my heart is broken within me, all my bones shake. I am like a drunken man, like a man overcome by wine, because the Lord and because of his holy words. Then in verse 11, both prophet and priest are ungodly. Even in my house I have found their evil. And then in verses 13 and 14, in the prophets of Samaria I saw an unsavory thing. They prophesied by Baal and led my people Israel astray. But in the prophets of Jerusalem, I have seen a horrible thing. They commit adultery and walk in lies. They strengthen the hands of evildoers so that no one turns from his evil. All of them have become like Sodom to me, all its inhabitants like Gomorrah. Tell me, where does the problem start? Where did this problem start?
The teachers,
the preachers, the spiritual leaders. They prophesied lies. They did not turn, according to this, anyone away from their wicked ways. Glad we don't have that problem here. I'm not talking about Reedy River Presbyterian Church. I'm talking about the churches in general in this country. Okay. And then finally, skipping down to verse 16. Thus says the Lord of hosts, do not listen to the words of the prophets who prophesy to you, fulfilling you with vain hopes. Fulfilling you with vain hopes. And I tell you, I've been in a lot of churches where people have been fulfilled with vain hopes. They're living in open sin, and the spiritual leaders don't do a thing about it. They say, everything is going to be good. They fill them with vain hopes. They speak visions of their own minds, not from the mouth of the Lord. These are supposed to be prophets and priests that are teaching and preaching in the name of God, bringing his words to them, and they're not doing it. They are doing just the opposite. Verse 21, I did not send the prophets, yet they ran. I did not speak to them, yet they prophesied. There's all of us false prophets everywhere. And then in verse 25, I have heard what the prophets have said who prophesy lies in my name, saying, I have dreamed. So they have a dream. How long shall there be lies in the heart of the prophets who prophesy lies and who prophesy the deceit in their own heart, who think to make my people forget my name by their dreams that they tell one another, even as their fathers forget my name for Baal? Let the prophet who has a dream tell the dream, but let him who has my word speak my word faithfully. What has straw in common with wheat, declares the Lord? Is not my word like a fire, declares the Lord, and like a hammer that breaks the rock in pieces? Therefore, behold, I am against the prophets, declares the Lord, who steal my words from one another. Behold, I am against the prophets, declares the Lord, who use their tongues to declare, declares the Lord. Behold, I am against those who prophesy lying dreams, declares the Lord, and who tell them and lead my people astray by their lies and their recklessness, when I did not send them or charge them. So they do not profit this people at all, declares the Lord. I really believe that the majority of Christians in this country sit under preaching and teaching, these are my words now, preaching and teaching that does not profit them at all. The same exact thing that was happening in Jerusalem before 587 B.C. All right. That's it for the introduction. Any comments on anything? So, Lamentations is a very important book for us right now. We need to realize, if I'm seeing things right, not only me, but a lot of other teachers and preachers in this country that are faithful, it's very practical for us. Because I can see a lot of the good old USA having the same problems. All right, back to Lamentations 1. Okay, this is a lament, and it consists of five different acrostic poems. I know what acrostic means.
Starting with letters of the alphabet.
They go down successive letters of the alphabet. Each line starts in the Hebrew. The first line will start with a Hebrew A, Aleph, Beit. And it goes all the way down the alphabet, 22 letters. That's why we have 22 verses in all of them except for chapter 3, which has 66. And that has three of each letter. If my math is right, 22 times 3 is 66. So they're acrostic. They're in alphabetical order, so to speak. What was one of the reasons for the acrostic psalms and passages in the Bible?
Memorizing.
This book was meant to be memorized. It seems. Okay. A good, concise summary of chapter 1 is that Zion lies devastated, with no comfort. Thus says the spirit of the Reformation Study Bible. The people are suffering justly in exile, and I hope I've made the case that they are justly in exile, and there's no one to help them. Jerusalem is in ruins. Diana, will you read the first seven verses of Lamentations? That's a pretty good bit. You have good endurance because you play the flute. So you have enough wind to be able to do this. That's why I'm calling on you.
How lonely sits the city that was full of people. She has become like a widow who was once great among the nations. She who was a princess among the provinces has become a forced laborer. She weeps bitterly in the night, and her tears are on her cheeks. She has none to comfort her among all her lovers. All her friends have dealt treacherously with her. They have become her enemies. Judah has gone into exile under affliction and under harsh servitude. She dwells among the nations, but she has found no rest, and all her pursuers have overtaken her in the midst of distress. The roads of Zion are in mourning, because no one comes to the appointed feast. All her gates are desolate, her priests are groaning, her virgins are afflicted, and she herself is bitter. Her adversaries have become her masters, her enemies prosper. For the Lord has caused her grief because of the multitude of her transgressions. Her little ones have gone away as captives before the adversary. All her majesty has departed from the daughter of Zion. Her princes have become like deer that have found no pasture, and they have fled without strength before the pursuer. In the days of her affliction and homelessness, Jerusalem remembers all her precious things that were from the days of old, when her people fell into the hands of the adversary. And no one helped her. The adversary saw her. They mocked at her ruin.
Verses 1 through 7. Zion's miseries. No husband, no lovers, no home, no hope. The situation is so heartbreaking and sad. Jerusalem was once favored by the Lord with covenant blessings. They once had the covenant blessings, but now is suffering under his curses. Jerusalem has lost all favor from God. And as Gordon McConville points out, Jerusalem's fate in 586 became a symbol of the folly of human pride and complacency. A symbol of the folly of human pride and complacency. So it's what we have here is a widow, sometimes called Lady Zion, weeping bitterly in these verses with no one to listen to her. I want to point out something right here. When Job laments his condition to God, he gets an answer. When Moses does it, he gets an answer. And we see in other places, I think it's Amos, Hosea, they complain against God, they get an answer. God does not answer here. He's fed up. He's done with them. He sent his word over and over and over again. They didn't listen. He's not going to speak anymore. At least for a while. You treat my word that way, I'm cutting it off. God does not speak in this book. Okay, now, this is going to put it about as plain as it can be put in modern terms. I'm going through here verse by verse. Verse 1, the beautiful woman has become a widow and even a slave. Verse 2, this leads to bitter weeping with none to comfort her, not even her former lovers. Number 3, this widow has lost her home. It is destroyed. So she is homeless. Verse 4 shows that she can't even go to church anymore. There's no more worship services. Verse 5, God has used her enemies to afflict her. She's getting what was promised. Verse 6, she has lost her beauty. She's now an ugly woman. She's an ugly widow with no friends. Verse 7, no friends to turn to. That is a situation of God's wife. Pretty desolate. All right, the word all is used 16 times in this chapter, which would show the totality of this tragedy. God's judgment is thorough. 5 times we are told that there is no one to comfort her. Now the Hebrew word that leads off this chapter, that leads off this book, is a self-standing exclamation of lament. It also, that same word, leads off chapter 2 and leads off chapter 4. The idea behind this is, how in the world can this possibly happen? How can these, being God's people, fall into this kind of condition?
All right, and you have a quote there. It says, and in the place of whatever pride she once had in those precious things, she is now overwhelmed with humiliation and shame, which is the main theme of these verses. She is overwhelmed with humiliation and shame.
She has become... Now, verses 8 through 17. I guess I need to stop here because there are some things in here that may take... before we get to the end of the chapter, there's a couple of things we need to look at for a few minutes. Does anybody have any questions or further insights?
I missed the blank. God's judgment is...
thorough.
Thorough, and 5 times
we're told
that there's no one to comfort her.
Yep. Okay, anything else on this? Yeah, Mike.
Yeah, when you first started out, the first thing you referenced was 2 Chronicles 36:17. Uh-huh. I thought you said 2 Chronicles 6:17, and I looked at that, and it's right in the middle of Solomon's dedication to the temple. And then 36 is the destruction.
Yeah. Yeah, that's interesting.
But it's not a coincidence.
Yeah. It is not. Okay, anything else? I hope I've kind of piqued your interest, gotten you interested in studying Lamentations. So, like I said, I believe it's a very good book to study if you're living in the United States in 2024. So we will see what else God has to teach us. And Mike, I'll ask you to close us in prayer.
Father in heaven, we thank you so much for